download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
And we are back. I'm surprised. That was kind of a quick turnaround.
Was that a break?
That was kind of a quick stop set as Jesse brought us in and out. And I believe our next guest, this is a gentleman who he's carried over. He's been on this particular program prior to my being the host. He was on with the mighty Bob Hedlund, who is now mayor of Weymouth, polls and politics back the days when he was a writer for the Boston Herald. Now look at the guy. Besides being a Canadiens fan, we'll talk about that later. But, none other than Dave Wedge, who is the co-author of Boston Strong, that is, I believe, going to be the common thread in the Patriots Day movie that Mark Wahlberg has his fingerprints all over. Dave, how are you?
How are you, Kevin?
We got Mark.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time.
It has. Thank you for having me back. I always, love my Monday night talk and always loved doing it with the senator and love to do it with you. It's a great show.
Now, I got Mark Rocheteau is my unofficial co-host on Monday Night Talk here. He'll be chiming in from time to time as
great.
We are having our conversation here. And
how you doing, Mark?
I'm well, thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm great.
Excellent. Thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely. Happy to do it.
So how is life treating you since the release of the book? You're going to be exciting because I'm hearing a lot of buzz about Mark Wahlberg's movie.
Yeah. So it's great. We're Casey and I wrote this book, in 2013 and 14, and it was released in 2015. And yes, it was used for the film, and we're proud to be a part of the project. We worked hard on it, and we did a lot of work with the filmmakers, and we enjoyed every minute of it. And really for us, it was just about making sure that we could do our part to make sure that the story was told properly. And I think it's in great hands. I think that Mark Wahlberg and the director Pete Berg, they've done several films together, including a couple of great real life stories.
Yep.
They did Deepwater Horizon about the BP oil spill.
Yep.
And the families that lost their lives down there, and then they did Lone Survivor, which is a war picture. I think I haven't seen the film yet. I'm hoping to see it in the next week or two. But the early reviews are fantastic, and the buzz is great for it. And it's certainly Casey and I are proud to be a part of it. Of course,
Talking about Mark Wahlberg, a Boston guy, do you kind of feel that Mark is trending towards the area that Tom Hanks and Ben Affleck are heading towards as careers, as actors, as being producers, looking for to tug on those emotions, maybe even get a statue somewhere down the road?
Yeah, I mean, you hope so. I mean, he's certainly put in the work. I mean, I love, going back to his old stuff. I mean, I think that he gave an Oscar-worthy performance, in my opinion, in Basketball Diaries.
Absolutely.
Supporting actor, and even Boogie Nights. I think he probably should have got nominated for that. I thought that was a really intense, unique role that he played in that movie, and I thought that was, it's one of my favorite movies, great movie. There's a lot of buzz for this. There's buzz for him. There's buzz for the film in general. Certainly the soundtrack, I can't wait to hear it. It's, Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, who won an Oscar for Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And they do the music for Patriots Day. And so far, everything that I've heard from the trailer and people that have seen it, it's just an incredible soundtrack. So I think there's a lot of opportunity here. As far as Mark and his career, he's a corporation now. I mean, the guy is doing so many projects. I think right after he left Patriots Day, I think he went to Transformers, one of those new franchise pictures. And then, of course, he's got the Ted franchise, and he's an executive producer on a lot of great TV series, of course, Entourage, but he also did, he does Ballers. Him and Pete Berg are both executive producers on that. That's the one with The Rock on
right.
HBO. And so, he's got a lot of projects in the works. So yeah, he's definitely representing Boston well.
Is there going to be a red carpet screening in the Boston area for this?
Still waiting to hear the details on that, but I know there is going to be a Boston premiere coming up. The film comes out, you know, December 21st, but there will be some sort of premiere in Boston, I'm told, but don't have the details on that yet. So we shall see. But obviously, you know, they know how important of a movie this is to Boston, so they want to, you know, include the city in it.
Working with a guy like Casey Sherman, who, you know, with The Finest Hours, he had a chance to kind of, you know, walk this road. I mean, have you kind of picked his brain as to, I mean, what was it like when you were sitting there? Have you asked him what it was like to see, you know, the screenplay turned into a movie, something that, you know, he had put together with, you know, another co-author?
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, you know, Casey and I wrote this together, and you know, a lot of tears and a lot of intense moments with sorry about that.
Sorry.
A lot of intense moments, you know, certainly with the survivors and other folks involved in this. And, you know, so Casey, this is not his first rodeo. Obviously,
right.
You know, Disney made The Finest Hours. But this one is different in that The Finest Hours book was really the only telling of that story. This one here, you know, you've got a lot of different people who have told different versions of this story.
Right.
You know, there's a documentary on HBO right now. There's a live theater play which I was actually partially involved in called Finish Line that starts at the Box Center, the new theater there, Ernie Box's new theater on Tremont Street, and you know, so many people. You know, the Norden brothers wrote a book. Jeff Bauman wrote a book, you know, and he's got a movie coming out in the spring. And, you know, this story touched so many people in Boston in so many different ways that, you know, Casey and I are just two people who told some of the stories, you know. So Pete Berg and Mark Wahlberg, when they were making their movie, they had a lot of material to choose from. You know, they had, you know, Ed Davis's story, who worked with CBS on the film. The folks from 60 Minutes worked on it. Of course, you know, they had our book. They also, you know, involved a lot of the actual survivors and got, you know, really did their own work to get their story. So it's a real team effort that they put together. And, you know, it's exciting. Like, I guess my point is, you know, it's a little different because, you know, Finest Hours, like Casey wrote that whole story, you know, and that was the, you know, without Casey's book, that story doesn't exist.
Mm.
But, you know, whether or not Casey and I had written our book, obviously we're proud of it. It's played a big part in this movie. But, you know, there was going to be some marathon movies with or without us, you know.
Mr. Wedge, I noticed that the book, in our notes here, says the book was part of the Boston Marathon and tax display at the National Crime Museum in D.C. How did that come about, and how was it incorporated into the into
yeah,
the display?
Well, they reached out to us after the book came out, and they were putting together a display at the National Crime Museum, which was, it was in Washington, D.C. It's now moved. I believe it's, Casey would know better. He knows this stuff better than I do, but... we went down there for the opening of the display, and they basically they had a big display about the Boston Marathon. You know, they also had, you know, displays about different crimes and terrorist attacks, obviously 9/11, you know, JFK shooting, and some of the major crimes of our history. And they had an exhibit on the Boston Marathon, and included some medals from folks that were, you know, that ran in 2013, some bibs. Actually, Carlos Arredondo, the man in the cowboy hat, Carlos donated his hat, and that was in the display as well. And our book was just kind of displayed there, and it had a little some info about us and some of the stories that were in the book. And we went down for the opening and kind of you know, met with folks that were there. So that was a great honor to be a part of as well.
Where are things now for the dynamic duo of Sherman and Wedge? Last I knew, you two have announced a new book, and I think you guys are teaming up on a production company. Yeah?
Yeah, so we've obviously learned a lot of lessons from this whole process, and you know, Casey learned a lot from his experience in The Finest Hours. And yeah, we decided to start a new production company. It's called Wida Productions. It's W-Y-D-A-H, and people can find that on Facebook and Twitter. And it's named after a famous
shipwreck,
pirate ship that was a pirate ship that it was actually a slave ship that was a shipwreck off the coast of the Cape, and it was recovered. And there was, you know, millions of dollars in gold coins in there. So, you know, Casey being a Cape Cod guy and loves that sort of old stuff, sea nautical folklore, thought it was a great name for the company, and it is. We love it. So basically what we're doing is, you know, we're kind of working with other writers and authors and trying to get things into development. You know, where we do have some of these, you know, Hollywood connections now, we can kind of at least get these things in front of the right people that can get them made, and some of our own as well, and including our next book, which is the Pete Frady story. Right now we're calling it Challenge. And Pete Frady is obviously the guy who started the Ice Bucket Challenge to raise money for ALS. And we're pretty deep into writing that book right now, working hard on it. Again, it's another incredible story of inspiration and hope where, you know, there's a sad element to it and a tragic element, but it's not a sad story and it's not a tragic story. It's a heroic story. It's a story about a guy who was an unlikely college baseball star, really, almost like a Rudy, like almost didn't belong there, and just worked his heart, you know, worked his tail off to get onto the Boston College baseball team and made the team. Not only made it, but ended up becoming their captain, their leader. And he took that spirit with him, and that indomitable spirit, once he was diagnosed with ALS, and said, you know, Lou Gehrig's disease. He said, you know, this isn't going to beat me. This isn't my end. This is the beginning. And he decided to take on the fight and try to find a cure and raise awareness and raise money for this disease. And the way he did it was with the Ice Bucket Challenge. So it's really a story about a guy who takes a really bad situation and turns it into something that changed the world.
Well, we're talking about something that went viral. You had everybody, you know, people, not just in people in the Boston area, but you had people, I mean, the president, I think, got involved with it. You had folks in Hollywood who got involved with this and raised an astronomical amount of money in order to be able to put it towards it. I want to say, was it close to $500 million? It was a large chunk of change, right?
I think it was $220 million and counting, though, because they still do it each summer. Each August they do it. It started in 2014, but $220 million, and it's led to some breakthroughs. You know, they found some gene discoveries earlier this in the fall, and they said that, you know, they attributed that directly to funding that was raised through the Ice Bucket Challenge. This money goes to research as well as an awareness campaign and care for ALS patients. And, you know, Pete's story is just another great story. We're honored to be able to tell it, and we're going to work really hard on it and hope to do him justice. And again, what I love about the story is that it really did change the world, because now you see all these viral philanthropy videos going live on YouTube and Facebook. Yep. And all that. And that all started with the Ice Bucket Challenge. You know, you have the 22 push-ups now, and you have the mannequin challenge and all these things. And none of that existed before the Ice Bucket Challenge. That was the first one. So he was a real visionary in figuring out a way to harness the power of social media to do social good. And that's really what the story is about. So we're excited, and great family. I mean, great people. And it's just a bonus to me that they're a BC family, Kevin, you know,
I was going to ask you that, how much closer to home does it hit you being, an alum of BC and seeing that Pete's going through this, that, you know, you take great pride in making sure that anything that you put forth is 110% accurate.
Yeah, well, this is I have the same feeling I had with the marathon book, where, you know, I have a responsibility. Everything I write, I have a responsibility and obligation, sure, to get it right. But when something is personal to you, you take that responsibility even a little bit more to heart, as I did with the marathon book, you know, where I really worked my local connections to make some incredible connections with folks who were directly involved in the marathon attacks, like Danny Kaler, who's the main character in our book, and Danny I knew from my years of covering police at the Herald, and so I'm doing the same thing with this Pete Frady's book, where I'm using my BC connections and the people I know to kind of learn more about the story and kind of get the story behind the story, and that's that's my job, is to tell these stories the right way and really make them resonate with folks, and I hope we succeed again. I working with Casey is great. He's a great writer and very smart guy, so I think we'll make the Frady's family proud and the whole BC community, and be another great story for the world to share, I hope.
I remember when you and I first were talking about you're going to leave the Boston Herald, you were taking on this exciting adventure, co-writing the book, and here you are, you've got that book where it's doing well, and you're writing the next one. How is it getting involved with the second book and writing, and does it feel like that comfortable slipper because you've been there before, you've broken it in? What is it like?
Yeah, I think so. Casey and I definitely know how to work together now. We know what works and what doesn't. And the great thing about doing a book with another person is, we can spread out the labor because it is a lot of work. But also we push each other to be better writers and to go the extra mile, to get that extra interview and call them back and get, push a little deeper. Because, at the end of the day, these stories are, they're universal themes, but really the story is about people. You need to really paint a great picture of who these people are. And I think when you read our book, Boston Strong, I think, that's one of the things you'll learn is, you really get to know who Danny Kaler is. Yep. He's not just some faceless cop that went running down Boylston Street. He's a Vietnam vet. He's a guy who was a little rough around the edges and maybe pissed off a few people in the department, but he was respected because he got results and a little bit of a darker side to him, a dark edge on that character. And then you meet these marathon survivors and people like Michelle LaRue, and you really find out who they are. It's not just some girl watching her boyfriend. It's a girl, her dad's a firefighter. She never ran. She didn't even want to be at the finish line that day. She was an equestrian. She was scared after she got hurt that she was never going to be able to ride horses again and ski, the thing she loved to do. And sure enough, a year later, she was not only doing those things, but she now has run two marathons, and actually she just had her first baby. So, we try to really give you those little nuances that really bring these people to life so you learn who they are, and that's not what we're doing with Pete Frady's and his incredible family and the giant network of friends and supporters that he has around him.
Now, this Pete's story, where you guys are writing and crafting it right now, is there the next level already been created where this thing could be transformed into a movie or a documentary?
Yeah, well, we're working on that, and that's another reason why we formed the company, because we think that there's definitely cinematic elements to the Frady story, and we're working hard to develop that now. We're hoping to be able to make an announcement on that soon, but nothing to give you an exclusive tonight, Kevin, unfortunately, sorry to say. But we're moving in that direction. I mean, there's definitely interest out there in the story, and we have some folks that we're talking to about it. I'm pretty confident that we'll be able to get this one done, too. Because it is just such a... it's such a global phenomenon. Everybody knows it, and people want to know, well, why did I do that? Well, who is this guy that created this thing, and why?
Dave Ryder, the person. Dave Wedge, the person, not just the writer. What are you doing to, get out and at least enjoy life other than being locked up with Casey 14 hours a day and, pen to paper or, sitting in front of a computer screen as you guys are writing chapter after chapter?
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, I love, as Kevin, I work a day job with Northwind Strategies doing consulting and communication, so that keeps me busy. I have some great clients there. We've talked in the past,
Yep.
I do some political advising and things like that, and so that keeps me busy. And then my nights and weekends are really my writing time, and that's really what I focus on. You know, like yesterday, I watched the Patriots game with a bunch of Pete Frady's buddies, guys that I haven't met yet, some of them, and some of them that I had, and just to get to know them a little and hear some stories about Pete. And I'm really, you know, Casey and I like to immerse ourselves in these stories, and that's what it takes to make a great story, I think, is to really take the time to really dig and again get the story behind the story, you know, not just the surface stuff, get the really, you know, the really private, interesting human moments. And it, you know, that takes time.
Sure. I have to tell you, I miss the days where you and I could sit here and talk state politics, local politics. Are you watching anything locally? Last Friday, I saw a great piece in your old paper, The Herald, where they were talking about Maura Healey might be getting ready for a big run against Charlie Baker. Mm-hmm. Things like that still, you know, entice you? Do you still follow that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, I am at Northwind. You know, we always have our eye on politics, and we do have some political clients, you know, and I do some work with some different politicians still. And so, there's no race to be run right now.
No.
But certainly, you know, there's a mayor's race coming up. Well, there's a you know, Marty's going to be up for re-election next year. He's, you know, Marty's a good friend of mine, as you know, and
yep.
I'll obviously be supporting him if someone does decide to run against him. I don't know that anyone will yet, but so things like that I stay intimately involved in because, you know, I love our city and our state, and I want to make sure it stays in good hands. You know, Governor Baker is very popular right now, but I think you know, definitely I think there will be a really strong challenger to him. You know, Seti Warren's name came up last week,
yep.
And Seti's an old pal of mine from Boston College. You know, we went to school together, and I think Seti is a really smart guy who could do the job. You know, he's worked for John Kerry for years and Mayor Newton. He's done great things in that city, and so I think there's a lot. You know, there's a lot of talent at the local level, especially on the Democratic side. You know, Maura Healey's another great candidate if she decided to get in. You know, then at the congressional level, you know, you got a wealth of talent. You know, Catherine Clark, phenomenal. Seth Moulton, obviously Joe Kennedy III. It's a good time in politics in Massachusetts right now. I think we have a lot of people to be proud of.
You talked a little sports. You were, you know, hanging out with Pete Frady's and some buddies. I'm surprised you didn't mention about BC going to its third bowl.
They haven't announced anything yet, have they?
They haven't announced anything, but I want to say the Herald yesterday had mentioned the fact that the team being victorious over Wake.
Well, yeah, they're now bowl eligible, which means you have to be over 500,
right.
Which is kind of ridiculous, I have to say. You know, I mean, I love my alma mater, but it's trying times at the Heights on the athletic side of things. The school, academic-wise, is off the charts right now.
Sure.
It's incredible. I mean, they just got ranked in top 30 overall university in the country, which is incredible. You know, I'm very proud of that. But, you know, the football team
struggling.
You know, I mean, look, they beat Buffalo, Wagner, UMass,
yeah.
UConn, and Wake Forest.
Yeah.
You know, that's not exactly murderer's row, you know? So I guess if they go to a bowl, fantastic. I hope it's a good one. I hope it helps recruiting, but they need to figure out what they're doing with the athletics there, because the football program has a proud history, and it's in a pretty bad place right now. I think I
have to say, though, I was bummed when they decided to move out of the Big East and go into the ACC. I'm like, oh, I think that's a mistake, and it hasn't really paid any for the football team. I don't think it's really paid any dividends for.
No, I think it was a wash. I think it was a wash on the football side. You know, I mean, there was, but the Big East pretty much broke up. You know, Syracuse left. You know, Miami left.
Yeah.
You know, everybody left, and so I think BC kind of had no choice at that time. If you had an opportunity to join a great conference like the ACC, you go. But it certainly hasn't helped them in their recruiting and their, you know, their success. I mean, it's gone down. You know, they've. The first few years, they were very competitive. In fact, they were kind of, I think they won it a couple of times. You know, they were beating up on a lot of teams, and it looked like they had taken a step down with competition, but it's since gone the other way. We're now like, you know, Clemson's back, and you know, a lot of these schools are just, you know, Florida State's
Duke,
back.
Yeah,
Duke. I mean, they, you know, in basketball, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, so it's I don't know. I mean, listen, the AD over there is a smart man, Brad Bates. And they got to figure it out though, because there's a lot of alumni out there that aren't happy. I know that, and I count me among them.
All right. But is the hockey team still okay?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think they're, you know, last I checked last week, they were, I think they were like number three or four in the country. They were undefeated. They're having a great year. I mean, Jerry York is
the best.
You know, he's the Bill Belichick of hockey.
Yep.
You know, he's incredible, best recruiting in the country, and that's not an issue. And the baseball team, you know, speaking of Pete Frates, I mean, the baseball team had a great run to the you know, the second, I think they made the semifinal round in the NCAA tournament last year, the best year they've ever had. So there's good things happening in the athletics, but the two marquee sports are really kind of in shambles right now.
Here he is, Mr. Dave Wedge, author of Boston Strong, with more work to come and more conversations to come. My friend, thank you for joining us this evening. Anything real quick you want to say in closing?
No, just, you know, I appreciate the support always at ATD. You know, I love that, you know, the local news. I've said it before. I used to say it to Senator Hedlund, and I say it to you. I love that you guys are doing what you're doing. Keep it up. It's a great great forum. The people on the South Shore are lucky to have it. I'm happy to come on anytime. So when the Frates book comes out, we'll come back on.
All right. Well, you take care of yourself. And if we don't talk to you before then, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
You got it. You guys too. Take care.
You got it. There he is. Dave. Dave Wedge talking with us about Boston Strong book and many other endeavors that he's got in the works. We are going to step aside, and when we come back, we're going to delve into a little theater, speak with Kelly Hines with Massasoit Theater Company's Miracle on 34th Street, the musical. Don't go anywhere.